first, if you grew up in the era of the family landline, you probably remember what it was like to share the phone with the whole household. Siblings eavesdropping, other family members picking up the phone and dialing while you were in the middle of a conversation. Here's one memorable example from a scene with a phone call in the classic It's a Wonderful Life.
Hi, Sam.
Well, George Bailiofsky. Hey, a fine pal you are. What are you trying to do, steal my girl?
Oh, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Here's Marion.
Wait a minute. I want to talk to her. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
You talk.
Mother's on the extension. I am not.
We're moving away from the family landline in the era of cell phones, and our next guest says there are things that we're at risk of losing along with it. Julia Cho is a freelance writer whose work has appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Atlantic. She's the author of the recent Atlantic piece, How the Loss of the Landline is Changing Family Life. Julia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rob.
A lot of us have been through this experience, having a landline and now not having one. What led you to tackle this in this piece?
Well, the piece really came about just simply because one day I received a kind of rare phone call for my 11-year-old daughter on my cell phone, and I had to call her and tell her who it was. And I just realized that that had not really ever happened before, and it probably wouldn't happen. And I just started to think about what a really entirely different experience she was having growing up without that landline shared in the home.
Yeah, talk about those shared moments that we used to have on that family landline.
Sure. Well, in general, we didn't have the privacy, so I had a lot of memories of, you know, growing up and being attached to the corded phone, talking late at night with my best friend sitting on the kitchen floor. And I had a lot of memories of, as well, of just picking up the phone and whether I was speaking to my mother's boss or my brother's friends, having to interact with different family members. And having to listen a lot as well, getting the chance to listen a lot to my mother's conversations, whether they were with my grandmother about, you know, family things or if she was speaking to a business, and just participating more in each other's lives, whether it was waiting for somebody to get off the phone. It wasn't always great. It wasn't always perfect. But we definitely had more of a sense of what was going on in each other's lives a little bit more.
And the trend, I mean, it seems anecdotally like we're moving away from the landline. It sounds like statistics back that up. Is that right?
Yes, that is true, that most people, more people have only the cell phone at this point in their homes in America.
And there's that that mystery when you called someone that we don't have anymore.
Right.
Is my friend going to answer or whoever I'm trying to call?
Right.
Is it going to be mom or dad? Or a memorable moment when I was in high school, my voice started to sound like my dad's voice. It could be an adventure when my girlfriend tried to call me.
Right.
They didn't know which one they were talking to right off the bat.
Yeah.
Did you have
Yeah, that definitely.
Did
Go
you
ahead.
Have stories like that? Or do you have moments like that as a thinking back as a kid?
Well, do I have moments? Not really. Anything comes to mind in particular.
Now, what do we lose if we don't have that as a family, first of all?
Well, I think it's just one shared family experience that we had, and definitely not the only one. So when I talked to some psychologists, some other suggestions were to just make sure that we kind of make up for that we have different shared experiences that we're still having, like, you know, family dinners and playing with our kids when they're younger, watching a movie together, basic shared family experiences. That certainly wasn't the only one, but just so that we can stay connected and, you know, having tech-free spaces in the home so that we're not always in our private virtual spaces, but we're also in the actual physical space of the home.
And there's also
together.
The idea of, you know, not getting kids their own phones until later and having mm-hmm. some kind of shared experience. And you talk to some experts and others. What kind of things are people doing?
Well, like I mentioned, having that kind of sacred tech-free space in your home. Also, even though we don't have the phone that's on the wall anymore, we can still put our phones in one shared space where they're all going to charge together. And one psychologist I talked to even recommended putting them all in the master bedroom closet so that the kids can't just go get them. I mean, that might be a little bit extreme, but so creating kind of that space where they're going to be anchored in the home. And then there are, you can take a screen-free day, which is something that I try to do in my home. So maybe on one day of the weekend, we'll just say we're not going to be on our screens, we're not going to be on our devices today. And there are organizations. I'm actually part of one that I signed a pledge. It's called Wait Until 8th, where your child, you agree basically that you won't get your child a smartphone until they're in 8th grade at least.
Talking to Julia Cho. Talking to Julia Cho about her recent piece, How the Loss of the Landline is Changing Family Life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you grow up with a landline family phone? Do you still have one? If not, do you miss it? Do you miss that experience? What were some of the positives and negatives? Would you go back to it if you had the option now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 on a landline or cell phone or whatever kind of phone you use. Julia, one of the experts you talked to talked about this as just one symptom of a decline of the importance of our home lives, of being at home. What kind of things did they have to say?
I think one of the people, his name is Luke Fernandez, said that, you know, the phone was more of an anchor for the home. And I think we were more reachable as a family unit. Really, if you even think about answering machines, they announced a residence as opposed to an individual. We had the phone in our home, and now it's my phone. So everything's just become more individualized and privatized. And he kind of mentioned, you know, we have gained privacy and mobility, but it's the value of the home that's been a little bit diminished.
We heard from Glenda on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Glenda writes, we lost being able to call our kids and have the grandkids answer the phone. That's kind of a fun moment that we kind of lose without that family landline, isn't it, Julia?
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, there's definitely... there's definitely that ability to bypass certain people and just go directly to who you want to talk to.
Well, and it's kind of a quandary because sometimes I would want to call and talk to, you know, like either of my parents, but they, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I know they each have their own cell phone and I don't want to have to pick or choose. It seems like we need to develop a new etiquette of how we call people as a family sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think we have to be a little bit more thoughtful about, how we want to approach it. That's true. That's a good point. And I hadn't really delved into that, but I've noticed even as my daughter has gotten an iPod, it's not a phone, but that my own mother, her grandmother, is sort of bypassing me to talk to her, which is sort of interesting. So there's a lot of room for that to happen. And I think we just have to be kind of cognizant of it and a little more intentional.
Well, we have landline phones here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and our lines are full. Let's bring out a caller. Kate is with us in Milwaukee. Kate, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Kate?
Well, there was a power outage about a year or so ago, and I have a landline with two wireless phones, but I forgot I also have a wall phone connected, and that was the only one that worked. So for emergency purposes, I really like having that phone, and I forgot all about it because I hadn't used it in so long.
So have you made a decision, Kate, to keep it around even though you hadn't used it in forever till that power outage?
Oh, yeah, right. It's much more dependable than anything else.
Kate, thank you so much for sharing that. Julia, do you hear that from people, that corded phone was, whether you liked it or not, more dependable than some of the other options?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely heard that from a lot of people, that that's usually the reason why they're keeping their landline. And it was kind of interesting because I feel like a few years ago or even a decade ago, people were really proud that they didn't have the landline, that they had cut the cord and gotten rid of it. And now I actually heard from a lot of people, they sounded kind of proud that they still had their landline and they like to keep it for the emergencies.
Kate, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Michelle now, also in Milwaukee. Michelle, hello.
Hi. I guess for me, it's like a kind of an interesting experience because I'm in that in-between generation. I'm 38, so I definitely remember having a landline growing up. And then we definitely quickly moved into cell phone culture. One of the biggest shifts that I noticed, though, was my grandparents lived into their 90s. And as cell phone, we haven't had a landline in probably 10, 15 years. And as cell phone culture kind of took over, they would never know who to call to reach who they were looking for. So sometimes if they were looking for my dad, they'd call my mom or they'd call myself or my sister or brother. And we could literally all be in different states or different parts of the world. But, you know, because we didn't have that central location for them to call, it was just different, you know, very different. Even though they had cell phones as well and they didn't use them though, but it's just culturally so different now.
Interesting. Michelle, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling in. Julia, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of what you were mentioning before. It definitely changes who we can interact with. And it's one of those more subtle losses that I think, I was thinking about when I wrote the piece that are kind of being missed, I think. Like, we're not necessarily noticing them because the technology is moving so quickly now.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Julia Cho about her recent piece in The Atlantic, looking at the decline of the family landline and the role it played in family life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you still have a landline in your home? If so, why have you decided to keep it? If not, what made you get rid of yours? And positive or negative, what do you notice about differences in how you communicate with people, how things work around your household in the post-landline era? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about the decline of the family landline and what it's changed in our lives. Julia Cho is with us. She wrote a piece in The Atlantic. It's called How the Loss of the Landline is Changing Family Life. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Before we go back to our callers, Julia, Don posted on our Facebook page, we lost having our dinner interrupted by telemarketers and political parties disguising as poll calls to promote their candidate. And I know I've heard other people, Julia, who didn't grow up with landlines say things like, wait a minute, other people could make a thing in your house ring whenever they wanted to and you were obliged to answer it. Some people look at it as something that was maybe kind of intrusive. Do you see anybody with that frame of mind?
Well, I have heard that a lot. some, especially in the younger millennials that I talk to, they just saw it as being telemarketers. And even people that keep it now for emergencies said that it's kind of a pain because the only people that call it are telemarketers. But I think there was a time, at least when I was growing up, when there weren't as many of those. So it was mostly people that you knew calling. But that definitely is, there are definitely pros and cons to both of them. And that would definitely be one of the cons.
Let's go back to our callers. Peter is with us in Wales. Peter, hello.
Good afternoon.
What do you want to tell us about, Peter?
I'm old enough to remember going to my grandparents' farm in central Wisconsin, and their phones were set up in groups of four or five farms, and you had to go through the operator. And when you would dial zero, it was a big old phone on the wall where you had the receiver right on the phone, and then you would listen to this like cone shaped thing, and you would have to tell the operator, okay, I want long short, or I want 1, 2, 3, because those four or five farms had a number, or their so-called phone number was a series of three sounds or three numbers. And then she would ring that household. If you had to go outside of that group of farms, then you would literally have to know the name of that household, and she would try to get you through. But my point is, she knew everything that was going on within that little town.
Peter, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, things had changed before the decline of the landline, Julia. We used to have to share conversations not just with the family, but with, as in this case, four or five neighbor families, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely is part of it. From really the beginning, the invention was really a communal invention because of the necessity for the operators, and the early rendition of it, of course, was the party line where people were sharing, which most people don't seem to miss that aspect of their neighbors being able to listen in on their conversation.
Thanks for the call, Peter. But you just used that word communal, Julia, and it seems like we've evolved into from that most communal to least possible communal with our individual cell phones. Does that, worry you? Does that make you worry about that change?
I don't know if worry is the right word, but I think what I really was trying to do, and more than just being nostalgic or villainizing the technology, I was thinking about something that psychologist and tech expert Sherry Turkle had said about how when we look at things that we miss, we can kind of see what we value and what we care about so that we can just be more intentional about shaping the technology as we go forward. So I think it's just something to really notice that, wow, we're not hearing each other or talking to each other as much. And when we're texting, it's very silent. Like, that's something else that's really changed, is that the home used to have the ringing phone and conversation, and now you can be having a lot of conversations and people who are near you don't hear any of that. They're looking at you and you're just tapping away. So that's really changed.
We're talking to Julia Cho. She wrote the piece, How the Loss of the Landline is Changing Family Life, that appeared recently in The Atlantic. Back to your calls now. We've got Jim in Portage. Jim, hello.
Hello. Some things that I remember is when I'm being in high school and maybe freshman and afraid of a girl calling, or not afraid of a girl calling, but she would call and afraid of my sister picking up. There's no caller ID. And then also being a prankster is doing all the prank calls. I mean, that was innocent fun. But with caller ID, you can't do that anymore.
Jim, thanks for the call. I don't think I'm going to mourn the loss of the prank call, Julia. But that skill of, as you were saying earlier, you might have to socially interact with anybody, including, you know, your boyfriend's sister or something like that. Is that a skill that we can make up for in maybe different ways as we raise our kids who aren't answering those calls from whoever?
Right. That's a good question. I mean, I think as parents, we can try to give our kids other opportunities to either make phone calls or have conversations or go into a store and buy something, you know, just other times where they're going to have to converse with different adults or authority figures. But I mean, that particular means of talking to different people, I don't really see coming back.
Thanks for that call. Anne joins us now in Sun Prairie. Anne, hi.
Hi. I gave up my landline 4 years ago, and I desperately miss it. The reason I miss it the most is because of the clarity of the calls, the dependability of the service, the fact that you can be on a lengthy call with someone and not get dropped at the pivotal moment, and you could call the dreaded customer service and stay on hold for a long time and then get dropped right when your representative comes on the line. And I think it was mentioned a bit ago that the reliability of a hardwired copper phone cannot be beat. I was reminded of one of the hurricanes that devastated Florida in the recent years, and there was no phone service to be had. And I saw on the news a person in Key West who had no home left. He had nothing. All he had was a hardwired original copper phone line, and he was able to call to the outside.
Wow.
And I think we need to measure what we've lost. I know, you know, being a talk radio service, you are probably all too well aware of the vagaries of callers, particularly statewide. If you're on a network that doesn't play well with the person answering in Madison, et cetera. So I guess It's just another aspect to look at what we've really lost.
And thanks for the call. This isn't something you focus so much on your piece, Julia, but there is a social thing. Like, when you pick up that landline phone, you were pretty sure it was going to work and you're going to have a connection. Now we, you know, it's getting better over time, but there is a certain element of chance, it seems like, with the cell phones.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, it's interesting because We started out saying when the phone was invented, are you there? And now we're saying, you know, where are you? Like, people are no longer located in this specific space that we can kind of count on. And actually, even though the piece wasn't really focused on that, I did start to delve in a little bit. And maybe it's a topic for another piece, but a lot of those copper wires are actually being replaced to be digital. And so even though people think they might have the security of the landline, it seems like they might not anymore. But that's it. It's kind of another topic, but something to think about.
And thanks a lot for the call. Julia, to the idea of, okay, what were we nostalgic about with the landline and how we can bring it back? I think of, you know, my kids were too old for this, but now my brother has little kids and they can use FaceTime with my parents and mm-hmm. all of them, you know, the whole family on each end can get together and all talk at once. Do you see us using right. even newer technology to maybe find some of what we lost with the landline?
Yeah, I do. I do recommend using FaceTime over just texting or even calling. And that's something that another psychologist I talked to recommended, because if you are, that's one of the ways that this can actually unite us and help us. If you are located, you know, across the country from your grown child in college or more grown, they can show you their new apartment, you know, on their FaceTime. And I encourage my daughter to do it on her iPod. She can FaceTime friends because it's good. It's even the best kind of practice. They can see gestures and make eye contact, all of that kind of goes along with conversation.
As we wrap up in our last minute, Julia, clearly you've put some thought into this and become, it sounds like, even more conscious about how you use our technology. And I've got to admit, I kind of just take the changes as they come. Can you leave us with a pep talk to think about the way we communicate and the way we use our technology?
Well, I think kind of what I said before about just looking at what we missed, taking the time to kind of notice that and just remember what it is that you valued about that when you're feeling that nostalgia, what is it that you're kind of showing that you care about, and then trying to be a little more intentional going forward so that we can keep those values.
Julia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Julia Cho. She was with us today to talk about her recent piece for The Atlantic. It's titled How the Loss of the Landline is Changing Family Life. You can still share your memories, your thoughts on that change on the Ideas Network Facebook page.